You're in with Dolores Cahill on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dolores Cahill Show on TNTRadio.live. And if you want, I would love if you would join my Telegram, Dolores Cahill, and not the fake Telegram account with the blue dot, if that's okay. And you can also find and follow and email me at custodian, custodean.com. And the email is connect@custodian.com. So I'd love to, I'll just briefly introduce everybody. We have from Canada, Jennifer Hibbert, who is a surgeon and also co-founder of the World Council for Health. Monica Helleberg, who's from Sweden, standing for election and is one of the co-founders and chairs of the World Freedom Alliance. And then we have from Brazil and Argentina, Rafael Freire, Dr. Hector Cavalio, and also we have Dr. Silvio on the line. So Jennifer, maybe we were just talking about the break, about some of the perspectives now that you've gained from being in South America.
Yes, it was really a wonderful experience. Really feel that South America is a light that's rising, and it's going to be the example to the rest of the world. And because as listening to Monica talking too, and about what's going on and the issue with elections. And we realize, even when we look back, that there's been corruption there for a long time. It's just once you start to look for it, you start to see it everywhere, and it is everywhere. And going to Brazil and experiencing, interacting with all of these wonderful people who are aware of what's going on, and their president, Bolsonaro, having the bravery to stand up and give freedom to their people to make choices is quite phenomenal. And I met a lot of wonderful people who are here today with me too. And interestingly enough, because I helped organize the conference, so it was several weeks before the conference that I was involved with the committees for Doctors for Life, which is Médicos Pela Vida. And I realized that this is a phenomenal collaboration that we have an opportunity to have across the Americas. We've got, you know, North America, Middle America, South America, and there were representatives from all across the Americas. We did have some international speakers, but really it was strongly the Americas that were represented at this conference. And so going down there, we started the dialogue about having a Pan-American Alliance. And this is one of the solutions. And this is really where we want to focus, is strategically creating solutions. And standing in my space, I absolutely feel that we are smarter than the people that are orchestrating all of this power play over us. And it's just people need to realize the individual power that they have. And I feel like because they've captured the media, and you realize how long they've captured the media, which includes Hollywood, is that they've been feeding forward almost so arrogantly what they're doing. And they've made it look comical, they've made it look science fiction, they've made it look in a way that people take it on, and they've indoctrinated people to accept all of these, but not to think that it's absolutely real. So they can actually get up there and show us what's going on without people actually even realizing they're led down the garden path. And on that topic, I now start to think of what's that movie with the Wizard of Oz? Let's pull the curtain back and let's see those little people after all, because it's a little bit like a bully in a playground. You stand up to them and they run away crying. And I believe that that's the position that we can be in if only we could awaken everybody. And I don't mean they can believe whatever they believe, but if they could stand up, because everybody wants freedom and sovereignty. Everybody does. I don't care if they believe in the vaccines and think it's going to keep them safe, or they see what the vaccines are doing and they've got access to all of those information. Everybody is an individual and they have a right to have a free will, free choice. And if we could just get everybody on the same page and bring us vaccinated, unvaccinated, who cares? Just realize that you want your freedom. And when I saw the power that came forward when I was in Brazil, we are now putting together a group of people, and it's actually going to include everybody across the Americas.
And brilliant.
We're taking our time preparing it because this has to be orchestrated very well and very carefully. And Dr. Hector Carvalho in Argentina, who I met you've been involved in this from the very beginning. I know you have, because I've been following what's been going on in South America, realizing, because way back even when I first saw what was happening and I learned about ivermectin early in 2020, it was South America that were having meetings like this way ahead of everybody else, talking about treatment protocols and what have they tried and how are they feeling? They've had COVID. And I realize I'm coming back to it, and it's like the full circle. And here I am back involved with South America again. So please, Hector, speak more about this, because it's very powerful energy coming out of South America.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you for letting me speak, because I just wanted to listen. But anyway, the fact is, we started working about a Pan-American Alliance because there are many, many people all over the world with very good intentions to fight back against evil. But the fact is that there medium-size or small groups with great convictions, but not big, not large. So we are trying to create an umbrella in order to gather all the organizations together to empower them without losing their individuality, and that's what we are working on. It's an arduous journey. I can see it, but if compared with some politicians, we are not thinking about the next elections. We are thinking about the next generations, and that's what we are trying to do, to work for them, and as much as our strength, let us do it. And we have had first meetings with people from, as Jennifer said, from North, Central, and South America, and they are brilliant people, eager to work, eager to join, and to join strength to do so. And well,
that's great. Thanks, Hector.
I was going to listen and not to talk. I guess that's
okay.
My talk.
I wanted you to say a few words, because you've been very helpful and supportive, and you're an important part of this. And the who he's talking about that are we've been meeting with is we are starting to form a strategy team, because this whole alliance is going to be very different than any other alliance out there. So as I said, we're taking our time getting it all very organized, and you'll hear more come forward over time. And, you know, why don't you talk more about your colleagues in South America? Because so many of them have bravely come forward and are pitching forward to step to come into the politics, because this is a strategy and it's a very important strategy. And I want to hear more. I want everybody else to hear more, because this is a way forward. And we're having a big problem in Canada with trying to get people to come forward, and even the ones who are coming forward, their power is getting taken away from them. So it's you guys are leading the way with this, and granted, you've got Bolsonaro, but he's a model for us too. So please talk more about
yes.
your call.
And thank you so much, Jennifer, for framing it this way, because what you're doing in the World Council for Health and also in the War Freedom Alliance and this radio show is to find countries that somehow get a spark. That's something that works there that we can then spread the information. So thank you, Jennifer. And Silvio, over to you in Brazil.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point, because this is actually why we started to think about we need to populate the parliament. You know, we need to, because we have a president, but it's still the parliament. It is 70% towards the other side, from more lefty than the right conservative side. So a lot of the things that Bolsonaro says, you know, it actually doesn't come through, because when it gets through voting, the parliament, they have, that's why Rafael is here, to try to populate that parliament, to make the changes happening in the country. Bolsonaro can come to the TV and say, look, guys, this is dangerous. I did not sign up for the Pfizer vaccine. I don't know if you guys know, but he's a lot of the lefties here, they call him a genocide because he didn't want to sign the contract with the Pfizer on the very first week. He asked Pfizer, like, who's going to be responsible for the side effects? Pfizer basically washed their hands and like, look, I need 500 million vaccines. Can you give me those 500 million? Pfizer said, no, you need to pay us and then we'll see what we do. So he walked out of the deal. Because he walked out of the deal, the media came and said, well, Bolsonaro didn't want to buy the vaccines. So a lot of the population here thinks that he's a genocide. He's trying to kill the population. So the problem is it's far bigger. Like Brazil is the only, it's Brazil and Ecuador in South America. They're still the only two countries with the right-hand leader of the state. And these elections, we're not talking about COVID here lately because of the elections. It's just around the corner, the 2nd of October. But I reckon whoever comes in, or if Bolsonaro stays, or if Lula wins, it's amazing the amount of people on the street that supports Bolsonaro. In an hour and a half, I need to go out exactly to be on the streets with people, you know, because that's what we need to do. The amount of people, it is like, it's millions. I'm comparing millions to a couple of dozens. But then when you see the mainstream media polls on the TV, it's the opposite. It's like Lula, who was a president for 8 years in Brazil, was the leader of the biggest corruption ever. He was actually in jail. Nobody that studies law knows how come Lula is out of jail and he's running for presidency again. So this is the whole movement from, you know, the new world order running with those people, trying to put the key people into the government. So they somehow take a look what happened in Peru. Peru was the same thing that happened in Chile. When it came to elections, nobody thought that the left would win. And then somehow we had a massive number of people that just couldn't vote. There was absence. And then somehow those votes went to the left side. And we are really worried here in Brazil because voting here, it is they don't give you a receipt of your vote. So you type in the machine, what's your candidate? The candidate appears on the screen and then off you go.
Yeah, very good, Silvio. So I think we'll maybe just come quickly to Manica and then Hector. But just I think it's a bit like the so-called Dominion voting machines in America, that if we see how the voting is corrupted, that even if for these elections, we'll say in Brazil or in Sweden, that we will learn how to counteract it. But Manica, come in. You wanted to
just
comment
a short
on what
comment,
Silvio...
Yeah, exactly. Because I think we kind of touched the point here that we need to remember that the people are always, we're more in the numbers. And we also, if we look historically back in research, none of these corrupt people in power have actually survived and have actually stayed in power. And I think that's a great message to those that still believe that they're untouchable and that they think that they can do whatever they want with people. We need to remember that people know right from wrong. The general masses, if they're well informed and they actually, you know, get the message of what is actually happening, they're good people. People have a heart. They have a spirit. They have a soul. And they know right from wrong, and we need to trust that, and that we are going to win this through that power.
Well, beautifully said, Manica. Yeah, beautifully said. So, and then I think Hector would like to come in, and then Rafael.
Just 30 seconds. I'm the older in the group, or at least the less young in the group, so I can't avoid remembering what a big media said about Ronald Reagan in the United States when he ran for a second period. They said worldwide that it was impossible that he got he won another second period at the office. And what happened? He won in 49 of the 50 states. So big media is full of big liars, and it's been so for quite a long time. Just watch Orson Welles' Citizen Kane movie, and you'll learn what I mean.
Well said. Thank you, Hector. Raphael, come on in and talk, because this is very prevalent. We know that mainstream media is not putting forward any of the truths. And even during this election in Brazil, it's a very strong influence on people to try to believe that there's nobody supporting what you're doing. Can you please talk about that?
Yeah, in Brazil, we have a very strong fight against the manipulation, and the social media is censoring everybody here, and I think everywhere. And our media, our press, and our journalism is fake, a lot of lies, and we are trying to fight against the lies. It's very difficult, but we are growing. We are growing and growing. And the fight is going on. For the elections, I am representing the Médicos pela Vida and the Lawyers for Life and a lot of groups of free fighters. And I think we are fighting in a world war. It's a war. It's not a classical war. It's a hybrid war, and we need to fight together, all the countries, as we are doing here. We need to do this maybe every week, maybe with a lot of people in everywhere, because if we talk, if we do something, we can win. If they win, we are not going to a good position, you know. I don't want to use bad words, but we are F if we don't do something. So the fight is going on. We need support from a lot of countries, because the elections, they are very local, but if we make noise in other countries, we can create an influence here. So I think this is it.
Thanks, Rafael. Well, we need to help Brazil win. So again, another strategy, and like you said, is talk about it a lot. And you need, I'm sure you're doing this because you've got millions of people out in the street. And I know they're there because they believe in what you're talking about and what they want for a future in Brazil. And they should hopefully keep taking that message home, and more millions and millions of people will realize, you know, turn off mainstream media, don't pay attention to them. Generally, they're very wrong with election statistics anyway. And that's just classic across all countries, because it's all influence peddling. So, I think the one thing that is a big concern, of course, is manipulation of the vote. And that is something we have to try to strategize around. How can we change that? We've watched in different countries, in the US and especially, and even in Canada, where they closed down different voting places because they wanted to make it difficult for people to get to vote. What are things that you think you guys can work on to help enable people to get their vote in and also to follow and track it? I assume maybe you will have people that can be available and around and make sure that people are enabled to get their voting. And again, a strategy. And this in Sweden too, I'm sure you're challenged with the same thing, Menica, right? Is to help people and enable them to actually get their vote counted.
Great. And maybe we might go. I know Silvio can get to come in, and then Menica will come to you, because I know both of you are interested in this.
Yeah, I guess at least one good thing here about voting in Brazil, it's voting is compulsory. Like, if you don't vote here, you pay a fine, and people don't like to. And if you have to pay a fine, your rights to vote to the next election, you actually need to clear You know, it's more bureaucracy they need to deal with. You need to spend one day lining up to get your voting ID cleared for the next election. So I don't think there is a problem in regards to people voting. The biggest problem is our biggest enemy in Brazil right now. It is the what used to be the head of the STF, which is the Superior Tribunal of Justice in Brazil. These are positions that were appointed by old governments. So that person over there right now, Alexandre, Big Alex, that we call here, he is actually, he's got more power than Bolsonaro. He's been actually right now, we are living in a dictatorship government because a lot of really big business people, they employ over 3,000 people with their shopping chains, whatever. They just got all of their bank accounts blocked because they're supporters of Bolsonaro. They're four big business people here, four big groups. They're right now, they're being, you know, put on the side and they can't do anything because they come on that big social media talking about what Bolsonaro does for the economy. Right now, in the world scenario, Brazil is the only growing economy amongst with Russia. Because when the war started in Ukraine,
the so-called war, yeah.
Bolsonaro went to Russia. Exactly right. And when Rafael said about, you know, this is a different war, this is also a spiritual war. You know, I don't think we ever lived something like that before. You know, there's so many layers involved in this. It's the magical, it's the legal, it is everything. Like, I believe that we've been living in a fake world lately. Fake news, fake medicine, fake food, fake doctors. You know, everything sort of fed us to be fake. And, you know, media is owned by BlackRock, or big media is owned by the Murdochs. And they are going to put out there what they want. No, it's not what we want, because we are fighting the system, right? We're fighting against the system. So we need to create channels. And that's what we're doing. Like, because the media is corrupted and social media is corrupted, I don't have any social media anymore. Because I realize that if I have a Facebook account, whatever, I'm helping the monster to grow. And that's what I've been telling people. You don't need that. You know, you can get your Getter accounts, you can get your Telegram accounts, which is basically the same thing. But we're planting seeds. We're going on a weekly basis to many meetings and talking to people and then asking these people to talk to other people. I'm actually being preaching for my daughter's friends because they are on the power to vote here in Brazil. They're all 16 years old. They don't know what they're going to do. In Brazil, parents are very liberal in the meaning that they don't want to force their kids in who they're going to vote for. They just let the kids choose. And I've been telling them who we're going to go for. I don't know. So I preach to them. I think I converted at least few of them, of the friends here. And this is what we need to do to make a change, yeah. Because the system they were fighting, you know, it took them a few decades to put that people there. Check this out. In Australia, when we had the crisis with the pandemic, whatever, we sat down as a group of doctors asking to ourselves, who elected these people? I didn't vote for these people that are out there now, you know, imposing us all of this stuff. And then we're like, you know, in Australia, you still vote on a paper ballot and you can only vote with a pencil, not a pen. You have to vote with a pencil. If you vote with a pen...
Yes, that's the same in Ireland. And yes, Monica, please jump in. And then we'll have to go to a break in about 3 minutes. Thank you, Silvio.
Exactly. No, I just wanted to comment there about the actual the voting system. In Sweden, we also have paper ballots, which we've seen from America, how easily that can be corrupted. And what we've done in Sweden is that we've encouraged people that vote to register how they have voted on a specific site so that we can see. So we've actually seen that there is a large percentage that are going to vote for our political party, the Knattrikana. And a second thing is that we've encouraged everyone in our party to sign up as overviewing the election so that we can actually get an insight. Observers, yeah, exactly. And then just also going back to strategy to Jennifer, I just want to mention that we put in about half a year's of work in the World Freedom Alliance to come to a strategy for our network, which is now over 40 countries and the most of the freedom networks in the world, which we're very proud of that work. And it boils down to 3 points, these strategic points, is to actually fight this, to protect and resist, protect people and resist the corruption and the tyranny. The second one is to, like you're all doing with the in the elections, inside the system or outside the system that is today, create what we want to see, to stand for the positive. And the last thing is to strengthen the individual, to know their rights. Also, like you said, it's a spiritual war, to be strong in themselves, to know, to have their health sovereignty, to think twice if you go to the ordinary system, to really know your rights and know the possibilities that they have. So just wanted to mention that and say that we're also, you know, trying to lead everyone to Telegram. We have an amazing Telegram channel for the World Freedom Alliance where we post everything going on there.
Brilliant. And that is the Telegram channel is the World Freedom Alliance, the official one, and also worldfreedomalliance.org. And of course, Monica, you are chair of it, and I'm very honored to be president of it. And Dr. Heiko Schoening from Germany is vice president, and Maz Pavic, a former banker, is our CFO. And of course, Nigel Lutton in England, who's a former teacher and an osteopath, is our chief operations officer. So that's worldfreedomalliance.org. That's wonderful. So we'll just take a break today. My guests today are Jennifer Hibbert, a dental surgeon from Canada, Monica Helleberg from Sweden, who's standing for election. And we also have Rafael Freire in Brazil, who's standing for election, and Dr. Silvio Fijo. And we're also joined by Dr. Hector Cavallo from Argentina. So we'll just take a break on the Dolores Cahill Show on TNTRadio.live.
Greg Phillips on TNT Radio.
With, outlets like TNT Radio and others, you know, we've been able to find a way to share the message. But what do you think is the success of 2,000 Mules? And why is it that people worldwide are so interested in what's going on?
A lot of somethings happened in 2020, which just wasn't just the election. It was, our worlds were turned upside down. And so I think it touched people in that way. And I think that it didn't matter that mainstream media, nothing can stop the power of a risen people. And people are waking up, asking questions, learning, researching, getting involved. And I think that in some small way, 2,000 Mules was a conversation starter that just became viral. And it's making a difference that is frankly being sustained through things like Patriot Games as we continue to extend what's really happening in our country and how people can be involved and make a difference in recovering our freedoms, which are eroding right out from underneath us.
Greg Phillips and Patriot Games on TNT Radio.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Chris Domine is a husband, father, an athlete, even an Ironman. But 10 years ago, Chris's kidneys were failing.
The doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant, you are going to die.
Chris received a second chance, made possible by an organ donor.
Your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
What could you make possible as an organ, eye, and tissue donor? Leave behind the gift of life. Go to organdonor.gov. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
News more twisted than soap operas.
Ugh.
And with worse actors.
You can't be serious.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Dolores Cahill Show on TNTRadio.live. And you can find me also on Telegram, as Monica was saying, not the one with the blue dot. But we're going to come to Rafael Freire now, who's standing for election in Brazil.
Hello again. I I was thinking about what we can do here in Brazil, but not only in Brazil. What can we do in the Latin America and all Americas? So we are talking about the Pan America Alliance for Life. That's initiative, a coalition that we are creating to help our country, our continents, and to bring information for the people, because I think the biggest problem is the information. People don't know what is happening because the media, the social media and the papers, they are lying for the society. So if the people die because of knowledge or without knowledge, we will bring knowledge to the people to have more life. So I think it's a good strategy. And in Brazil, in the elections, I think when we have international support, people from abroad and other countries recording videos saying, "Hey, Silvio, I will vote you, but I'm not in Brazil. Hey, Rafael, I would vote you, but I'm not in Brazil. I hope Brazilian people vote you because you are working for us." Something like this, I think we can create. We can make a lot of meetings to talk about our condition, because we have the same problem, and we will find the same solution, because it's everybody is living the same situation. So I think Brazil is a way to help the world, because the war is coming, unfortunately. The war is coming, and we have a big country with a lot of opportunity, a lot of food that we can help other countries. We have water. We can do a lot of things with Brazil. We just need to win. If we win, we can help other countries. So that's my opinion.
Absolutely. That's so true, Rafael. And it's just the positivity and seeing the energy coming from other parts of the world and other parts of the Americas to support you and all of you individuals who are wanting to make a change. And even with supporters who are out there on the street, sometimes they're not sure who to vote for. It can be very confusing for them. So I think the power is in the people, and the energy that comes and flows from everywhere will pour into Brazil. And that's what we're doing here today too, is supporting you in Brazil and in Sweden. And we want that positive energy coming in and people going, wow, they're making sense. And like you said, there's so much information that is not getting to the people. And if we can make people realize that there's been, well, deception, but also a lot of theater. And the theater is in how this world is not the world we thought that it was. And for the whole time we've been living in this world, this deception started before we were born. And it's getting more and more powerful. And I think it's been happening through past generations. And it's coming to a head right now. And I think that is what you mentioned about the spiritual side of it. I think there's a strong spiritual element that has brought us to this brink that we're at right now. And something that I wanted to point out that I did a little bit earlier is about the theater of what's going on. And when you look at them getting up in the WEF and talking about how they're going to have world domination and totalitarian, and I hate to even say the words to give it power, but honestly, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And you look at them and I'm going, these guys are like puppets and they're playing theater games. And they're standing up and they're just giving stupid bully statements that make no sense. And people are under their spell a little bit, but I don't think for a very long time. And I think there's many more people supporting us and ambivalent. They've gone partway down that path. Just like all of us in our childhood and growing up, we may have sensed something wrong, but we followed what we thought people were trying to protect us, our governments, and we realized that there was an agenda behind it. So this is what we are doing with the World Freedom Alliance. It's what we're doing with the World Council for Health, is getting feeding information forward, empowering people, standing in their own power. And I'm not saying that we're calling people to everyone to come up and run for politics. It's just take care of your own environment and your own space. And the Pan-American Alliance for Freedom, a Pan-American Alliance for Life, is, we named it that because of the Doctors for Life, Medicos per la Vida. And there is so much power in the Doctors for Life, because this is about life. So this is why we named it the Pan-American Alliance for Life. And we
That's
all
wonderful.
Know
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful, Jennifer, and it's inspiring. And maybe I should just have a shout out as well, that when I did my first interviews in May 2020, I said in those interviews I would have Zoom calls every Thursday evening. And of the first 12 countries, the nine of the first 12 countries that ended up becoming the World Freedom, the World Doctors Alliance and the World Freedom Alliance were from South America, and particularly Lucia in Argentina, and Dr. Cavaggio as well from Argentina and Brazil. But what was amazing is this was in May, June of 2020, that we had people from all over the world, and exactly the same thing was happening on a week-by-week basis all around the world. So that even woke up me and everybody more than we already were about the agenda. But it's just to, I suppose, honor that really the World Doctors Alliance and the World Freedom Alliance came out of the brave people in South America, including Argentina and Brazil. So I don't know, Hector, if you want to comment on some hopeful things that's in Argentina and also in Silvio, that on the ground, and what are the chances, we'll say, of doctors and these elections succeeding in South America?
Well, not all the countries are going on elections right now. I think that the most important and the most proximate is in Brazil. The fact is, we have been fighting a war for 2 years, 2 years and a half. And you know that the first casualty of a war is the truth. Mm? And so the Pan-American Alliance wants to bring truth to people, because people have been fooled for so long a time. But as Lincoln said, you cannot fool everybody forever. So people are realizing that there's something fishy in here, and terribly fishy. And we want to support those like Monica and Silvio and all those who want to make truth prevail. And that's the idea.
Well, is, we'll say, for Monica, Silvio, Rafael, who are standing for election, if they don't get elected, that we have the observers and we learn for each other how the corruption takes place. So I don't know if Silvio and Monica, if you want to bring in, I know, Monica, you were talking about having observers in Sweden. And if that works, maybe there can be cases under the law against, we'll say, the counting procedure or the voting procedure, to bring more transparency and accuracy in the voting and the counting of the votes.
Yeah, if I may jump in.
Yes, go on, Silvio, go on.
Yeah. We are running through, like, it's a big battle here, because President Bolsonaro, a month or so ago, I would like to just to really, know, put a point here to all of you guys, that this election in Brazil right now, it is the most important election in the world. Because what's happening in Europe right now,
Absolutely.
What's happening in America right now, the world can go through starvation if Brazil loses, if Bolsonaro loses this. So Bolsonaro basically asked for specialists to do a basically check what happened in the 2018 voting system, because he wanted to know if it was legal or not. And in actual fact, when they did all of the recounting of the votes on electronic machines, they realized that Bolsonaro was supposed to win on the first part, on the first leg of the election. There was never supposed to have the second leg of the election. And when he came to the media and said, look, we need to check the system to see, and the big media was selling to us like, well, he won the election. Why he wanted, what does he want to see that? No, there's no need to see that. So it was never so easy in life right now, especially by what Jennifer was saying, like, it's decades of brainwashing, decades of an agenda taking place, right? So it was never so easy just to turn your eyes and say, look, I don't want to be part of this. But this is the pinnacle moment in the world that we need to fight against this. If we don't
That's wonderful, Silvio. And maybe I should just put a plug in for next week's show. We have the writer of the books, Bilderberg Group and the Tavistock Institute, Social Engineering of the Masses, Daniel Estolan, who's actually living in Mexico and South America, but also in Canada. So he has been working on how the psychological manipulation of people has been manipulated for decades. And I think part of the awakening is if people understand what's going on, it's easier for them to, like Jennifer says, the emperor has no clothes, see what's going on, then recognize, okay, this is just pure corruption and there is solutions. But Manike, you wanted to come in there on the voting mechanisms as well?
Yes, yes, exactly. I mean, in Sweden, we've already spotted some voting fraud, like our ballots being taken away from the voting stations, etc. And whatever way it goes, I think we need to remember, and we've been discussing this in Sweden, that we're actually a people's movement. So whatever, if there's fraud in the elections, we're still a people's movement that are becoming aware, like you said, of the mass formation psychology, that are becoming aware that we are responsible for the world that we live in. And this is what I'm also facilitating in the New Earth Scandinavia and from the New Earth Horizon project that I've been working with together with Sasha Stone for many, many years now, 15 years, that when people understand that, this is that we actually have to act from our conscience. We're actually going to live with ourselves and our souls for a long time. That when people start to, whatever happens, if there's corruption, if there's whatever it is, or if you're pressured or being threatened, you need to act from your conscience. You need to take the right steps. And the more of us that actually do that, the more we are going to win this. So whatever happens, just follow that and we're going to be fine.
No, that's wonderful, Manike. And I think that's part of what the learning is for this, because there are a number of elections in Italy and there are elections that are happening over this autumn and winter period around the world. So that if we can learn how to expose fraud, it turns out the civil servants are liable for fraud, as are the election officers. And it's around one of the highest crimes. And it's, you know, includes in malfeasance if the police do not investigate fraud. And the beauty of standing for election is that people have standing in law to challenge it, so that if there is corruption.
Just
and
one
I
more
know.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to say, I stood for election in Ireland. And how they do the corruption in Ireland is that they do the wrong type of boxes to carry off the votes. The votes are taken away in the evening. They disappear in white vans. In my case, there was hardly any English speaking people when they should be done by the police. And then we have evidence that the there's double printing of the ballots and then different ballots came back. And that's why when people, I photographed my ballot paper, which you can do in law, and the ballot box that I put it into. And that's why they wouldn't allow me in for the election to oversight the vote, because the votes we had asked our supporters to count, because there is a number on your own vote. And that's how you can track in the voting system whether your votes have actually ended up being counted. So there are simple ways, Manike, of how you can do this.
That's an amazing,
yes, just wanted to mention
an amazing
also,
recommendation to take
a
picture.
Go ahead.
Go ahead,
on both sides. And also, sorry, Jennifer, I'm delighted that you do that, because there is a number right on it. And also for people to bring pens, right? And I would recommend that people bring color pens, right? So, and there is a process that if your vote is spoiled, that you can actually, as an election candidate, go through each one and then decide. So you can have people actually do in different colored markers as well, you know, ink pens, their vote in a particular script so that they can then go. But photographing the ballot paper on each side and the ballot box and making them aware of that, Thank you, Jennifer. That is a key way to undermine any kind of double printing in the ballot box.
That's a strategy. Right. And that's a really good one, because you cannot be there every second. And even when you are, they can still snow you. So that's really important. And Monica, please carry on.
Yeah, sorry. Just wanted to add, because looking into this and also from the work of Daniel Estelin, we see that Sweden is kind of a key player in what's going on in the whole world. If we look at the Wallenbergs, which is the largest family, the richest family in Sweden, they've actually, you know, started up the Bilderberg Group, which is kind of basic, what do you say, growing ground for the World Economic Forum, etc. And if we look at the companies that are big in Sweden, it's the pharmaceutical companies, it's the weapons companies, it's the 5G companies, Ericsson. So we have a lot of power structures coming from this small country in Sweden. Even the first kind of structure for the Great Reset came from one of our former prime ministers in Sweden. So I think that the Swedish election, it's really, really important that we try to do something about it and get into parliament, because it's also, like lots of you say, it's crucial times right now. It's kind of the end battle where we all need to play our part and take the steps to actually stop the Great Reset. We need to speak about it. We need to be open about what we're fighting. So yeah, just a note on that.
You know, that's important to bring up, because what you're talking about, how a small country has got these huge corporations, and you realize things are not what they appear to be. And money has been flowing into a country, all right? And it's a background plan that's been going on, and money that's been flowing in and out of different countries. I mean, look at this so-called war that's going on right now, and what was behind it. And this is something that slowly we'll talk about bringing forward, because we don't want to lose viewers, but it's definitely something that people should be looking into. But that's really crucial what you're saying. And
And maybe, Jennifer, Ireland is one of the key kind of countries as well. Like Manika is saying, in Sweden, there's a huge, you know, some of the bases of the pharmaceutical industry is here. But some of the comments that we can do, you know, currently what we have is these big BlackRock and pharmaceutical giants paying no tax, and people have been heavily taxed. So it's very easy that what we can do is just do like a Tobin tax or a transaction tax on financial transactions, even at a very low percentage, so that you could have it that even if it was 1 euro in 1,000 or 1 euro in a hundred, which would not impact the financial transaction, but you then have a situation that the globalist big companies would be taxed and the ordinary people would pay little or no tax. But Hector, you wanted to come in?
Just to say that, Silvio mentioned that they vote on a paper with a pencil in Brazil, but any election system may be manipulated. I still remember the first election in Venezuela with huge machines that were brought from Europe, and they were manipulated, because no matter what button you click it, you will vote for Chavez. And they send observers from different places in the world, including the former president Jimmy Carter, who left Venezuela with a huge contract to import raw materials for his enterprise, and he saw nothing. So that's how the world behaves. Corruption is everywhere. It's not a matter of technology. It's a matter of corruption.
That's right. And that's what we're here to do. Because as I said, and you just have to keep repeating it so people start to open their eyes wider or consider everything else and what people are saying. All those people for so many years that have been labeled crazy because they've been talking about this a lot longer than all of this disruption. And interestingly, with social disruption, you do get an awakening. And if there is fraud and it gets exposed during any of these elections. Because interestingly enough, many countries are going through an election in the September, October period, early November. So we know that there's something, a big shift that's intended to happen at this time. And hopefully, no matter what happens, it's going to awake people and it'll create a huge outcry across the world. Because it's an interesting shift. I think we're all feeling it as we're talking about not just information, projecting information to people, but there's a shift that we're shifting into a new phase. And we're all starting to talk strategizing. And we're all starting to talk about how can we be more proactive? Yes, we have to keep reacting, but it's not our main position now. We're all shifting. Our ducks are shifting around and we're lining them up to face them now, not to chase after them behind them. So we're going to stand up and we're going to be more proactive and we're going to start to push back. And they're not going to like it because I don't think they're as smart as us. I really don't. I think they just
money. And also I think, Jennifer, they're cowards, right? As we said, but just maybe to quote, they are absolutely cowards. But Joseph Stalin said, you know, those who vote decide nothing. Those who count the votes decide everything, right? And that's, of course, the trick of the Bilderberg Group and all of these big so-called criminal elites or whatever. But I really think if anyone as well, Raphael, wants to come in, that even if people here don't get elected, that you will be the leaders of the future, right? You don't need to have a title and you don't need to, in a corrupt system, get in. But as all of you are doing, is we need to build a fair and accountable and maybe challenge the elections together, you know, that we actually challenge and support each other from all around the world for one candidate, let's say Rafael or Silvio in Brazil, that don't get elected, to challenge the voting system.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe that we have a real risk condition with the votes, because we know the system is corrupt, and the way to count the votes, it's a system. So the system accepts everything. So we need to change the system. Maybe I was thinking an idea, maybe elections by blockchain, with a structure.
Yes.
With blockchain, because we cannot, you cannot have a fraud. And you said everything. We don't need a place on the government to do our job. I believe this. It's not about war. What you ask or what you expect from the government. It's about what you can do to help the government, or the society, or the children. So we are the political already. We can do this now. So I think that's...
Thank you. Well done, Raphael. And if you want to just mention your Instagram. And so Raphael, okay. Silvio, and Manike are all standing for election. So maybe we'll just let you, for the last few minutes, give maybe very short messages on how people can vote for you and support you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
Yeah,
go ahead, Rafael. Go ahead.
Okay, my Instagram is Rafa, R-A-F-A, Lima, L-I-M-A, Freire, A-F-R-E-I-R-E, again, everything
brilliant.
Together.
Well, thank you, Rafael. And now, Manike, brilliant.
Yes, just a short note. What in history, what we see is that and also in research, is that people's power, pure people's power, actually is the countermeasure to corruption, and is the way to actually just solve problems without creating this divide and conquer mentality. So that's kind of the basis for the political party in Sweden that I represent, the knapptryckarna.se. It's the button pushers. We only go into the government to push the buttons to represent the people's vote. So, yeah.
Brilliant, Manike. And your election is on 9/11, so the 11th of September.
Yeah,
and Silvio, if you want. And then I'd love if Hector and Jennifer had a time to say goodbye. So, Silvio, I know you're standing for election in Brazil as a doctor.
I just like to say that, you know, we need to, we're here for human sovereignty. We are here for people's freedom. And we lost our freedoms big time these last 3 years. And a lot of the freedoms were taken away, and people, like the normal civilians, just can't realize that. They're going with the flow. So our strategy here is being basically not trying to fight against the system, but rewriting a new system. We are trying to show people a new way to do things.
That's great. Thank you so much, Sylvia, as a doctor standing for election. And then Hector and Jennifer, if you just want to give your final thoughts. Hector.
Jennifer first. Oh, well, the only thing I want to say is that the sun has risen.
The sun will always rise. Thank you, and Jennifer
will,
as well.
It will always rise.
That's right. The sun is rising here too. And, you know, as you could say proverbially, stand in your light. Understand that you are more than your physical being, and we have the power to control what we want to have in our personal environment. And that's where it starts, because you must take care of number one first, so then you can reach out and take care of everybody else. And I believe that it's very interesting to hear that the election is 9/11, because that's a very dark day.
Wonderful.
However, this is a new day and a new life.
A new dawn.